host for the show is Lisa Seif, who is a practicing professional counselor and adjunct professor at USI. Lisa invites you to pick up the phone and give her a call at 424-1400 or 1-888-846-7867. We hope you enjoy today's program. And now, Radio Rehab.
Good morning, everybody. Glad to be back always to share with you people in recovery and in discovery and in different levels of their own spiritual, mental, physical, emotional wellness. So welcome to Radio Rehab. This show, we're proud of it and excited always to introduce you to people that are recovering from alcoholism or substance disorders, family members that have people they love that have substance abuse disorders, eating disorders, you name it. One of the things I like to do, and I think it's important for us to meet and important for us to understand, not only the addictive disorder or the mental disorder, but how do we end up finding people that love us and will stay with us till death do us part, and how does the addictive disorder affect the people that love us? So frequently on Radio Rehab, I like for us to meet people that have lived with it on the other side, the spouses, the mothers, the fathers, the children of the alcoholic. So today, my guest I've known for a couple of years, and she is one of those that is just supreme about love. Wounded early in life by her own self-doubts, but went into codependent relationships and ended up with alcoholic men. And she's here to share her story of that little girl that grew up with confidence and pride and then ended up somehow getting into relationships and into her own little corner of the world and ended up with alcoholic men that just hurt her and hurt themselves. So how does that happen? How does a nice girl end up in a place like that with abusive men that emotionally neglect them and abuse them and just stay drunk? So I'm so impressed and proud of Renee. She's been in recovery in Al-Anon for 2 years, and she's going to share her story with us today. So I'm going to introduce you to my friend Renee. Thank you for coming. By the way, Renee is a nervous wreck. She's happy to share how her story of recovery happened, but she is so nervous. So if her voice shakes, it's because she's just nervous to be here with us, but glad to be. Thank you.
Thank you, Lisa. Well, I guess I'll just start by talking about my childhood a little bit. My name's Renee, and I'm from Evansville, Indiana. I was born and raised here. I grew up in a pretty normal household, middle-class family. Mom and dad, you know, stayed married. That's actually probably not normal these days. But fortunately, mine stayed together. I had a little brother, 3 years younger than me. You know, we had the family dogs, we had the vacations, you know, normal, happy family. So I had my, you know, went to elementary school, had my little group of friends, everybody got along, everything was great. I was really, truly one of those lucky, happy kids. Then puberty. Big, ugly puberty set in, and about 12 years old, things just started to take a turn for the worse, it seemed. I was kind of a late bloomer. All the rest of my classmates were getting interested in boys and worrying about their hair and their clothes, and I just was not into any of that. I didn't try to put on appearances. I was just who I was, and that kind of set me apart and made me feel, started to make me feel a little of like an outsider. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, people started making fun of me for what I was wearing, you know, because I wore tube socks. And the other girls were wearing tight jeans and, you know,
so
just.
You were a little nerdy.
I was a little nerdy, yeah. But I didn't, you know it until people started pointing it out to me. So then at that point, you know, the self-awareness, the self-consciousness set in, and I started becoming critical of myself and, you know, just really unsure of who I was and where I fit in. So then that carried on through high school. I still maintained some friendships, and I was in track and cross country, and up until I was probably a junior, things were okay, though I probably didn't realize it at the time, but I think depression was starting to set in, because I was slowly starting to isolate myself from my friends and my family. And probably by junior year, I had completely isolated and had no friends left, not because they didn't want to be my friend, but because I, for some reason, thought that I was not good enough for them. So I spent, all my time by myself. I had one date in high school. Probably part of what I went through was I was just naturally a very extremely shy, introverted person, and I guess being thrust into high school was pretty intimidating for me. And I, along with feeling, having a lack of self-esteem and then being shy, it just made me withdraw even more. And my depression, which I didn't realize it at the time, my depression really started to set in. So by the time I hit graduation, everybody else was cheering because, yay, they get to move on to other things. And I was cheering because I didn't have to go back.
School was hell.
Yeah, it really was. I hated it. It was a nightmare every day for me. So then I got out of high school, and I was just a little lost lamb. I had no idea what I wanted to do. My time was spent watching TV and reading books in my room. I hardly talked to my family. I did end up getting a job at Walmart, and I made a friend there. So that was
remarkable
for me. I made a friend. So then that friend came into work one day and said that she had joined the Army. And I thought, and I really, I thought a lot about this person because, she was pretty and she was smart and really had it all together. And wow, somebody like that actually wanted to be my friend, so that must have meant that I was an okay person. And so then when she told me about the Army and said that she thought that would be good for me, I was like, well,
sounds good.
Sounds good. So, I looked into it, and, I think it became an out of Evansville for me. Not that I didn't like Evansville. I just didn't like who I was in Evansville. And it was a chance for me to go someplace else and start anew and shed all the misery of the past and become a new person.
Yeah, we call that a geographical cure in AA.
Yeah. And I didn't realize it at the time, but that's what I was trying to do. I thought, sure, a new place, I can put on a new face, a new personality, and everything will be wonderful.
You just took you with you.
Yeah. If I would have left myself behind,
the geographical care might have worked.
Yeah, I would have been okay. But unfortunately, I took all myself with me.
Right.
And all my baggage. So I joined the Army, and I went to, I got to my first duty station, and it was a lot like going to college, a lot like being in a college dormitory, parties all the time, lots of drinking, lots of partying.
In boot camp?
No, that was after boot camp, once we got to our permanent duty station.
Oh, gotcha.
So, lots of guys everywhere, women.
A sea of sharks.
Yes. As my grandma put it, we were sending, my family was sending the lamb off to the wolves.
Ooh, yeah.
And, yeah, that's kind of how it was. I had not dated in high school, so I really had no experience with men, and being a person that I was trying to put on a new face. I was trying to be confident. I was trying to feel good about myself, but deep down inside, I didn't. So pretty much any guy that came along that wanted to date me, I dated, not because I really liked them, but because they liked me. And it just seems like when you're in that state of mind, you tend to attract people that are not so good to you. And that's what happened. I ended up dating a lot of guys that just treated me really badly.
The core of codependency, huh?
Yeah. And I took it, you know. Yeah. I knew they were treating me badly, but did I break up with them? No. I waited for them to break up with me. And, you know, usually they did. Then with each guy, my self-esteem plummeted even more because, well, if a guy's going to break up with me, then there's obviously something wrong with me and I'm not good enough and blah, 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 blah. So then I ended up meeting who is now my ex-husband, my future husband, in the Army. And it was just at that time, I had a nice guy in my life that was like my best friend who I could have dated, but then I met this other guy who was not such a nice guy. So in my head, well, that was the perfect guy for me because this nice guy over here, there's no way that he would ever want me. You know, he was too good for me. So I met this other guy and we dated and we ended up marrying within probably 4 months.
Oh my. Short courtship.
Very short courtship.
Yeah. So, a match made in heaven, huh?
Yeah.
Bad boy and codependent.
Exactly. That's exactly what it was. So the marriage had its problems right from the start. He got out of the Army while we were married. And when he got out of the Army, I noticed that there was a lot of drinking and a lot of drugs. And his personality changed. He started to get erratic. The not so nice guy became an abusive guy, verbally and emotionally.
Well, don't go away, Renee. That's a good place for us to give our sponsors a second for their advertisements. But it sounds like you went into the Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde stage of marriage. Radio Rehab, don't go away. We're hearing from Renee, her story of codependency and just how this happens, that you end up falling in love with people that have alcoholism. We'll be right back.
It's a proven fact that 1 in 3 adults will be affected by a mental health or substance abuse issue. Think about that. 1 in 3. Think about your family, your friends. If you or someone you care about is suffering from depression, anxiety, anger, or any type of chemical dependency, including alcohol, Brentwood Meadows can help. Left untreated, these conditions can lead to pain and suffering that destroys lives. Help yourself or a loved one today. Call Brentwood Meadows to schedule a free evaluation at 858-7200. Phones are answered 24 hours a day.
More people choose Ashley Furniture Home Store in Evansville.
With the great value at Ashley Furniture Home Store, it only looks like I have expensive taste.
Get 14 pieces for just $7.99 at Ashley Furniture Home Store's incredible 14-piece room package event. Get 14-piece living rooms or bedrooms for only $7.99, plus 12 months no interest. 14 pieces for just $7.99 at Ashley Furniture Home Store in Evansville. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
Thank you, Tri-State, for making KC Beauty Mar your one-stop shop. We carry thousands of hair products to meet your every need with over 600 synthetic wigs. Come check out our authentic snapbacks for only $25.99. Boots are buy one, get one half off. And you can't beat our large selection of clothing and accessories. And there's even a 30-day layaway plan. Ladies, we even service your eyelashes for just $4. Stop in Monday through Saturday from 9:30 a.m. to 9 p.m. or on Sundays from noon to 7 p.m. KC Beauty Mar, located on Van Avenue, next to the Family Dollar, is your one-stop shop.
Don't wait for your tax refund. Get your rack pre-fund at Rent-A-Center. Right now, you're pre-approved to buy any name brand flat screen TV, computer, appliance, or furniture set up to $2,500. Take it home today and pay it off in 90 days, same as cash, when your tax refund arrives. Everyone's pre-approved for the rack pre-fund. Rental purchase transaction. See store for details. Pre-approved means no credit check or credit required. Final amount of pre-fund eligibility based on available income. 90 days same as cash, not valid in Vermont.
You're listening to Radio Rehab on 1400 AM and Magic 98.5 FM, WEOA. We encourage you to call into this live program at 812-424-1400 or 1-888-846-7867. You can also listen on the World Wide Web at 1400 AM, WEOA.com. We thank our guests for coming in today. And now, back to Radio Rehab.
Well, we're back talking to Renee, and right before the break, Renee was telling us about how her marriage turned into that codependent Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde existence.
Yes, he had gotten out of the Army and had started drinking heavily and getting into drugs, and his personality started to change. You know, there had been problems in the relationship before, but things really started to compound and escalate at that point. And that's not, I'm not saying that I wasn't perfect in the relationship. I mean, I was immature and really had no
idea. So new to you.
It was. I had no idea how to handle conflict, and I was insecure and jealous, and I mean,
he was
just
drunk.
So even with the best of skill.
Yeah. So we just had layers and layers and layers of problems. He did become increasingly not physically abusive. Well, actually, I guess even to this day, I'm a little bit in denial, because there were times when he was physically abusive to me.
I think people think aggressive doesn't mean abusive.
Right.
And aggressive is abusive.
Yeah, because he would do things, I mean, even now as I'm thinking about it, he would do things like raise his fist at me when he was mad.
Right.
You know, sometimes he would shake me real hard.
Like something's wrong with you, right?
Yeah. You know, like there was physical abuse. And even speaking about it now, it's like it's becoming
clarity.
The further I'm away from being out of unhealthy relationships, the clarity of what abuse is becomes more
profound.
Prominent and clear in my head. So, yeah.
Just like people with alcoholism and addiction, the longer they're sober, the more they remember.
I
think it's the same with codependency. The longer you're sober, the clear things get.
That's right. And I think that it is the more that I start to value myself as a person,
right,
I start to realize what abuse is. Because
right,
when you don't value yourself, you really don't know that it's abuse, because
right,
you feel like, oh, I deserve this.
And he loves me.
And he loves me, so it's okay.
Right.
Right.
Yeah, wow, we're whacked.
Yeah. Oh, boy. Yeah.
Yeah.
Very much.
You were into that whole lifestyle by then, but still thinking you could fix it or...
I thought that I could fix it. You know, I cried, I begged, I pleaded, I manipulated, I, you know, tried to guilt him into stopping all this. He never claimed it, but I thought, you know, he was out there womanizing, and I thought, well, if I act happy and I work out and I, get in shape and be what he wants me to be, then he'll stop all that. And he'll stay home with me, and he'll quit the drinking and the drugs.
What a fantasy, huh?
Yeah. Which, of course, that did not happen.
Right.
You got prettier and more fit, but he got drunker.
Exactly. So then, make a long story short, he ended up asking to separate from me, and, you know, not wanting to do that at all, because, you know, why would I...
Till death do us part.
Exactly. Why would I want to separate from somebody that treats me so badly?
Right.
Because who else would take me? That's kind of what it was.
Yeah.
Nobody else would take me because there's something wrong with me.
Yeah.
But he went back to his home state. I went back to my home state. We were miles apart. And all that distance really brought clarity to the relationship for me. I started realizing, oh my God, what am I doing? Why do I want to be in a marriage with somebody that does these things to me and that makes me feel the way that I feel? It's just ridiculous to even want to stay in this.
So was that kind of the first time you really had that moment of, what am I doing to myself?
Yes, okay. Absolutely.
Okay.
Because there was
many
distance.
Abuses later, many drunks later, you started to think, wait a minute.
Yeah, there's
what
something,
am I doing here?
There's something wrong here. I don't deserve to be treated like this.
Awesome.
So
yeah.
I ended up actually asking for the divorce.
Wow.
And so then, you know, we divorced and that was that. So then things really started to turn around for me after a lot of counseling, that is.
Sure.
I mean, years of intense counseling helped me get back on my feet.
Good.
And I went to college. I graduated. I got a great job. I was making good money. I was single. You know, I was close to my family. I had established.
Kind of arrived.
Yes. I had my great group of friends. I had hobbies. I mean, I was doing something all the time. I really was happy. And I really thought...
Codependent sobriety.
Yes.
Life was good.
Yeah. I thought, this is it. I'm doing good. I feel good about myself for the first time.
Maybe being single's the way to be.
Maybe so for codependent people like me.
For a while, anyway.
So then I, you know, and I dated all through this and... actually dated some nice guys. It just didn't work out. They weren't the right person. And then I met this guy.
just the way you say that, I have a feeling I know where we're headed.
Yeah. I met this guy. I guess I'll just start from the beginning. We met on a blind date. On that blind date, he was drunk. He was so drunk that he blacked out and didn't remember any of the date.
Wow.
When I talked to him again, I had to do a recap of all that had happened and all the crazy things he had done. Which, you know, how big of a red flashing neon sign can you have telling you that there might be something wrong here?
Yeah.
But of
That's
course,
what I'm thinking.
Yeah. But apparently I wasn't as healthy.
You weren't cured.
I was not cured in any way, shape, or form because...
Wow, Renee.
That,
no kidding.
After the second conversation we had, he was telling me how great he thought I was and how much he liked me and how wonderful of a person he thought I was and just really giving... He was giving
Pumping
me
you up. Yeah.
All of the good feelings about myself that I didn't have for myself.
So you'd accomplished a lot of things on the outside, but the insides hadn't really caught up to that.
That's exactly right. Hmm. I thought that they had, mm-hmm. but deep down inside, they had not. Mm-hmm. I still, deep down inside, thought there was something just wrong with me.
And anybody that'll love you is worth hanging on to. Huh?
Exactly. Mm-hmm. No matter how badly.
No matter even if they black out on the first day.
Exactly. It's not exactly a story you want to tell your grandchildren. You know, this is how we met.
You didn't remember it, but I did.
Yeah.
Right.
So, anyway, we started dating. And to me, I did, at that time, I had no idea what alcoholism really was.
Sure.
In my mind, I was very naive. My images of alcoholism were homeless people on the street. And then in the movies, you know, the guy in the wife beater T-shirt sitting on the couch watching TV with a beer
in one hand,
yelling at his wife,
remote control
exactly.
in the other,
yeah. yelling at his wife, yelling at
pizza
his kids,
boxes, beer all over.
Exactly, you know,
right.
Go get me a beer. That
right.
kind of
image.
Mm. I had no idea that there were people out there that were functioning alcoholics that had jobs that
living
seemed
with you.
Normal. Yeah, living with me in my house. So, yeah. We started dating. I really, truly fell in love with him.
Yeah.
And I know that he really, truly fell in love with me. At that time, the disease had not progressed so far that there weren't sober days and weeks where we actually, you know, connected on a very real and intimate level. You know, and then when you're in love, you tend to put on rose-colored glasses and everything is just all hunky-dory.
Yeah.
And at that time, it was, he was working, I was working. We would get off work. We'd go out with our friends. We'd party. We'd have a great time. Everything was great. You know, I just thought,
life
wow,
is good.
This is great, you know. And then we moved then the relationship progressed quickly. Within 6 months, we were living together. actually, it was I had bought a house, and he had moved in with me.
Wow.
Because...
You hauling six-pack in hand.
Yeah. And...
Wow.
And that was, you know, of course, another huge, big red flag because he had actually lost his apartment because he couldn't afford it anymore.
Good God.
And that was one thing I remember very clearly thinking the whole time, Renee, what are you doing? Why are you doing this? Do not move this guy in with you. This is not right. There's something not right here. But... I felt guilty for even speaking that. I felt like I had to take care of him.
And codependent guilt.
What more so better example of now. A codependent person than that?
Wow.
So, yeah, I felt like I couldn't turn back. And I still loved him. I wanted to take care of him.
Provide him some security.
Exactly.
Give him a chance to get back up on his feet.
Exactly. Then when he moved in, that's when I started to realize that there was a problem with the drinking. Because then... He was in my
face. Yeah.
Every day. I started to notice the empty liquor bottles every day. So then I'm like, oh, wow, this guy is drinking heavily every single day. And then I started to notice the mood changes from sober to drunk. Mm. The mood changes started to get more extreme.
And the whole time you're telling yourself what?
I'm telling myself, I think I was just in such a state
fog.
Of denial that I didn't even know what
you
to
were
think.
Impaired too.
Oh my gosh, I
definitely.
Was
definitely. I think the spouse gets impaired right along with us.
Absolutely. I mean, we were going down the road together
right.
towards sickness.
Right.
His with his alcoholism and me with my codependency.
Skid Row right there in your house.
That's right.
Don't go away, Radio Rehab. We're hearing Renee's story, and we'll be right back. Don't hesitate to call if you have questions or sharings also. We welcome that. Be right back.
Okay, our country was stricken by horrific tragedies in 2012. This has brought the topic of mental health to the forefront of all of our minds. It is so important for our community to recognize and guide our loved ones to seek help. Please, please call Brentwood Meadows if you know someone who may be suffering from a mental health issue. It could be depression, anxiety, or even loneliness. These people need our help. Call Brentwood Meadows today at 858-7200. There's hope. There's help. That's 858-7200.
More people choose Ashley Furniture Home Store in Evansville.
With the great value at Ashley Furniture Home Store, it only looks like I have expensive taste.
Get 14 pieces for just $7.99 at Ashley Furniture Home Store's incredible 14-piece room package event. Get 14-piece living rooms or bedrooms for only $7.99, plus 12 months no interest. 14 pieces for just $7.99 at Ashley Furniture Home Store in Evansville. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
Tune in every Sunday from 5 to 7 p.m. for the Sunday Evening Gospel Show, hosted by Byron Lander. Byron plays your favorite traditional and contemporary gospel music while providing you with inspirational thoughts and messages that will bless your soul. You can call in your musical and prayer requests at 424-1400 or 1-888-846-7867. The Sunday Evening Gospel Show is always found right here on Magic 98.5 FM and 1400 AM.
Listen Monday through Friday at 7:45 a.m. for your Live Smart Tip of the Day, sponsored by Vectren. These weekly tips provide you with some free and low-cost ways to keep your energy costs under control during the winter heating season. To manage your account or to learn about Vectren rebates or other conservation tips, log on to www.vectren.com. Your Live Smart Tip of the Day is heard here on 1400 a.m. and the new Magic 98.5 FM.
Introducing a faster way to push to talk. AT&T Enhanced Push to Talk. AT&T delivers more of what your business needs. Instant communication, up to 1,000 contacts, plus a broad array of devices and platforms. Visit your local AT&T store or call 1-877-981-3359 to get your business started today. You pushed to talk, we pushed it further. AT&T, rethink possible.
New activations only. Requires 2-year commitment to eligible voice and data plans, plus activation of AT&T Enhanced push-to-talk service.
Welcome back to Radio Rehab on 1400 AM and Magic 98.5 FM WEOA. Phone lines are always open to share your live comments, so give us a call right now at 812-424-1400 or 1-888-846-7867. And now, back to Radio Rehab.
Hi, everybody. We're back talking to Renee about her Al-Anon story and her codependent story. So we were talking about, again, even in her healthiness of career and connectedness to friends and family, she again got into a relationship with a man that was an alcoholic. And she moved him in, and that's where we kind of went. You realize that, oh, my God, he's in my home. We're trying to be a couple, and he's drunk day in and day out.
Yes. Yeah, I had the rose-colored glasses were no longer rose. I mean, there were no glasses left whatsoever. It was
shattered lenses.
Absolutely. It was just in my face that, oh, my God, what have I gotten myself into? And I'm never going to be able to get out of this. I felt like I was trapped.
Yeah, because it was in your home this time.
Exactly.
You can't run away from your own home.
I was a codependent. I felt like it was my responsibility to take care of him. And it didn't matter how miserable I was or what kind of sacrifices I had to make. It was my job to take care of him. You know, his needs first. That's what codependency is. Your needs don't matter.
Yeah.
And I still had not realized that there was actual value and worth to my own life. All the value and worth was his life. Over a period of 5 years, the drinking progressed. As a result of the drinking, he had lost his job, which then that sent him into a spiral of even more drinking. He had gotten multiple DUIs, had been in jail. He had no transportation because he had ruined his vehicle and couldn't get it fixed. And all the while, you know, I hired the best lawyer. I provided all the transportation. I dished out money left and right. In my mind, I was helping him. In reality, I was enabling him to continue drinking, because I was taking away all the consequences of what he was doing, and he didn't have to own up to anything. And then, I mean, it just got to the point where my daily life was so miserable. I was locking myself in the bathroom just to get away from him. He didn't even hardly see his kids anymore because he was drinking too much, and I didn't want them to be around him. And finally, I realized I can't do this. I cannot. I kept thinking, I can't do this another 5 years. I can't do this another year. I just hit my breaking point. And so I decided, and actually what happened was I was turning 40.
There you go.
Yeah. So I was turning 40, and I decided it was time to do something.
To grow up.
Yeah. I didn't know what it was. I didn't know what was going to happen. I just knew I had to do something. So I got into counseling with a great, fantastic counselor, who, yeah, I credit a lot to, but that counselor suggested Al-Anon to me. So it probably took me 6 months after that to actually go, because I was so
shy.
I was so shy
and broken.
And it was something for me. And why should I do something for myself?
Right.
So I went to Al-Anon, and it was in Al-Anon and counseling that I started to realize that, wait a minute here, I have rights. I have value. I have the right to stand up for myself and expect something and expect to be treated well. I have the right to have my own life and my own dreams and my own goals. It is not my responsibility to take care of him. Now, I say that, but it was not an easy process.
Sure.
I mean, it was, I can say, the hardest thing I've ever had to do was to break away from my codependency, to break away from the idea that it was my responsibility to take care of him. So what I started doing was setting boundaries. You know, first it was, no, you're not going to drive my truck. I mean, hello, he had multiple DUIs and I'm letting him take my truck. And I knew he was drinking and driving my vehicle. So, you know, it was, I set that boundary. I set boundaries with money. I set boundaries with, I'm not going to come and get you in the middle of the night when you, your vehicle breaks down in the middle of the mud pits when you're out four-wheeling. I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to miss work to... come and get you. I'm not going to miss work to take you to your appointments. Because I had almost lost my job, actually. I had gotten written up for not being there because I was taking care of him. So slowly over time, I was setting boundary after boundary after boundary, which was very difficult because he resisted it with might and rage. And not physical beating, but just emotionally. And sometimes threats of physical beating, you know, if you don't do this for me, then I'm going to cut loose on you, that kind of thing. So it really took a lot of strength for me to start setting those boundaries. And it seemed like the more boundaries I set, the more he started drinking. And then I was not only setting boundaries, but I was doing everything I could to convince him to go into rehab.
Yeah.
You know, I was begging. I was sometimes on my knees begging him to go to rehab. I was making phone calls and putting the phone in his hand. I did everything
that
I
desperation.
Could.
Desperation.
Absolute fear. And it was desperation because I knew that if he didn't stop, he was headed for a very tragic ending. And the crazy thing is, it was all out of love. You know,
yeah.
I still loved him.
Yes.
Which is why I hung on for so long. Because I was afraid for him.
Sure.
You know?
Yeah.
Sorry, I got a little bit choked up there.
It's okay.
Thinking about it.
I wish love was enough, don't you?
Yeah.
We wish love was enough.
Yeah, and I guess that's, you know, part of it. It's like you grow up and you think love can conquer everything. But my God.
What a fantasy.
It is. When it comes to addiction, it just doesn't. Because, I mean, it can, but the love can't come from me. It has to come from himself.
Right.
And that's what the problem was. He, over the years, with the progression of his alcoholism, he had come to hate himself. And he just, you know, he couldn't hear the positive things. He didn't have any hope for the future. So the more he spiraled down, the more scared I got. And I guess that there was a point when I realized nothing was going to change. And if it wasn't going to change soon enough for me. Because I saw my life going down with his.
Yeah.
And I had, because of Al-Anon, I had learned that I'm just as important as he is. And I had learned that I didn't cause him to drink. I couldn't stop him from drinking. Mm-hmm. It was a disease that I had no power to cure, which was a hard thing to come to, mm-hmm. a hard thing to accept. But when I came to that conclusion, I realized that if I stayed with him, I would stay with him probably until he died from alcoholism. And I just could not see myself doing that. The guilt, I think the main thing I had to overcome was, one, realizing that my life is just as important as anybody else's, and my happiness is just as important as anybody else's, my safety, my health, my future.
You would think that comes so natural, wouldn't you?
You would think.
Not for a codependent.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
That's like the...
You had to learn how to do those things.
Yes. That was the hardest.
Mm-hmm.
To me, putting myself first made me feel like a bad person.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it took a long time for me to realize that's not being a bad person. No. It's that we all have our own lives and we're all responsible for our own lives.
And yeah, there's a difference between being self-centered and self-caring.
Yes, that's right. And I had thought for years that I was selfish for wanting to
get better. Yourself, yeah.
And I started to realize I wasn't being selfish, that's what you're supposed to do. You're
right.
Supposed to care for yourself.
Right.
And the thing is that you can't change the alcoholic. Therefore, the only thing left to do is to care for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I started to do. I started to care for myself.
And Al-Anon really does help you do that and teach you to do that, doesn't it? Because you really don't know how.
Al-Anon,
it's like AA.
Yeah.
The drunk doesn't know how to stay sober without AA. I would assume a codependent probably doesn't know how to stay sober without Al-Anon.
That's right. It's it's like Al-Anon provides kind of a roadmap for that.
Yeah.
You know, there's actual steps that you take that lead you to realizing I'm not responsible for them. I didn't cause it, so I don't have anything to feel guilty about.
Yeah.
I can't cure it. This is their disease. It's their disease to manage. And then to realize that I have to take care of myself. And then to realize that that I can find that help through a fellowship of people that are all in the same boat in one way or another.
Right.
And it's a support group, but it's much more than a support group. It's a support group with a roadmap to recovery.
Yeah.
And
how can people find Al-Anon, Renee? Is it online? Like they can Google Al-Anon, probably Al-Anon family groups.
Yeah, I'm sure that they can Google it.
Yeah.
And there's like meeting times and meeting places.
Every day in Evansville, I think.
Every day in Evansville. Evansville
Anderson.
And Newburgh.
Yeah,
Newburgh. Pretty much every area
has Al-Anon. Yeah.
You can find a place to go that's fairly close to your home
Right.
Yeah.
You can
even
go online, I think, and get a meeting online or CDs and tapes. And
yes, you can do that.
Yeah.
And like every group is a little bit different. Because the people are different.
Sure.
So there's different stories and different personalities. But no matter where you go, the agenda, the intention is the same.
Mm-hmm.
It's a group of people that have all had experiences with loved ones that are alcoholics, and they're all just trying to get by. They're all just trying to figure this out and get better.
Whether or not the alcoholic gets sober or not. Huh?
Exactly.
Don't go away, Radio Rehab. We're talking to Renee, hearing about her now recovery from her codependency. We'll be right back.
Okay, I started rambling there a little bit.
It's a proven fact that 1 in 3 adults will be affected by a mental health or substance abuse issue. Think about that. 1 in 3. Think about your family, your friends. If you or someone you care about is suffering from depression, anxiety, anger, or any type of chemical dependency, including alcohol, Brentwood Meadows can help. Left untreated, these conditions can lead to pain and suffering that destroys lives. Help yourself or a loved one today. Call Brentwood Meadows to schedule a free evaluation at 858-7200. Phones are answered 24 hours a day.
More people choose Ashley Furniture Home Store in Evansville.
With the great value at Ashley Furniture Home Store, it only looks like I have expensive taste.
Get 14 pieces for just $7.99 at Ashley Furniture Home Store's incredible 14-piece room package event. Get 14-piece living rooms or bedrooms for only $7.99, plus 12 months no interest. 14 pieces for just $7.99 at Ashley Furniture Home Store in Evansville. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
Ba-ba Black Sheep, have you any wool? No, sir, no, sir. Some nincompoop with pantyhose pulled over his face stole all my wool sweaters and gaming system. Luckily, the Geico Insurance Agency recently helped me with renter's insurance. Everything stolen was replaced, and the little boy who lives down the lane was caught trying to sell it online. Call Geico and see how easy it is to switch and save on renter's insurance.
GMC Certified Service. This is Dan.
Hi, Dan. This is Jeremy.
And I can tell from the sound of your voice it's time for an oil and filter change on your Sierra.
How can you tell?
Experience, Jeremy. Experience. And we should probably check your Sierra's evaporative control system.
And my clutch fluid level.
Right. I had you pegged as a manual transmission guy.
So you can schedule me?
On Thursday, 8:30. Got it.
professional-grade service for your professional-grade vehicle? GMC's certified service experts are speaking your language. Technicians who make the grade. And now, when you purchase an oil change, four-tire rotation, and 27-point inspection, you'll get a $10 mail-in rebate debit card. Allow 6 to 8 weeks for delivery. Offer ends March 31st, 2013. Visit GMCCertifiedService.com for details and to find a participating dealer.
Welcome back to Radio Rehab on 1400 AM and Magic 98.5 FM WEOA. Phone lines are always open to share your live comments, so give us a call right now at 812-424-1400 or 1-888-846-7867. And now, back to Radio Rehab.
Hi, everybody. We're back talking to Renee, who continued to get in her own recovery and healthy, even though the man she loved's drinking got worse and worse.
Yes, so I was slowly recovering, and he was getting worse. Despite my efforts to get him into rehab, he chose not to do any recovery. He chose not to go to AA. He chose not to talk to counselors. He kept drinking. And through the years, he had always made, like, when I would, we would have a fight and I would say, I think maybe we need to separate. And then he would say, well, I'm going to kill myself. Mm. And, it happened so many times. I just thought that it was manipulation. You know, I'll say this because I know that it'll make her feel guilty and she'll get scared and then she won't leave me. Mm-hmm. That kept on. All through my recovery, those suicidal threats kept on. In fact, it seemed like as I got stronger, those threats became more frequent.
Sure.
Because I think he was getting scared because I was getting stronger.
Right.
But he also was not in recovery.
Right.
You know, if he had been in recovery, it would have gone down a whole different road. But at any rate, what ended up happening was my worst fear came true. And he did kill himself. Obviously that was the worst thing that had ever happened to me. Sorry.
No.
But I think what made it even worse was in an alcoholic rage, he had left me a message that it was my fault that he did that and that I was going to be the one to find him. Mm. And I was the one that found him. You know, he did it in our home. And so...
Total last word, huh?
Yeah, that's what he left me with. And I wasn't far enough along in my recovery to be able to combat that. I really felt like... Sorry,
I could have done something different.
I did. I thought that if I had said something different, if I had given him more money, if I had bought him a new car, if I had been nicer to him, if I hadn't, yelled at him that night, that it would have been different. But I intensified my counseling. I intensified my participation in Al-Anon.
Thank God.
Yes, I prayed every day. I had a sponsor.
Right.
In Al-Anon, you have sponsors, which is like a friend that just kind of guides you through the process, and they're your confidant, and they're there to hold your hand and to help you. Not to live your life for you, but just to help you along the process. And I clung to all of those things. It's like there was a part of me that... there was a part of me that felt responsible, and, you know, in fact, there was a night where I felt like, you know, the only right thing to do was to take my own life, to make up for the life that I took. But even though I felt like that, I called my sponsor. In fact, I got out my phone list and I called everybody on the list until somebody answered, because the seed had been planted through counseling and Al-Anon that, no, that's not right, that there you have value and that you're not responsible for this and this is not the right thing to do.
So you'd had enough recovery tools,
yes,
to go into that toolbox when you were in despair.
That's exactly right. I had a foundation to pull from,
right,
to keep me from going off the deep end.
Yes,
you know,
exactly.
And so honestly, it's been close to, oh gosh, it doesn't seem like it's been that long. It's only been a year and maybe 4 months since that happened, since he took his own life. But it seems like it's a decade ago in some ways, because I threw myself into recovery so deeply and so with such commitment that the growth that I have experienced in this past year and a half is, I mean, it's just, what's the word?
You're in shock.
Yeah.
It's like, wow, look at Renee now, today,
right,
from whence you've came.
That's right. And through...
You've sobered up.
I absolutely have.
You know, and codependents get impaired, too.
That's exactly right.
You all have your own blackouts and brownouts and doubts and...
That's exactly right. And, you know, the further out, the further distance that I have from what my experience was, the more clarity there is. And I'm to the point now where I can honestly say that I know that I am not responsible for him taking his life.
Right.
I know that.
Or his alcoholism.
Or his alcoholism.
Or anyone else's.
That's
yeah.
right. I mean, it's a disease,
yeah.
and unfortunately, it took hold of him, and he could not find his way out of it. And it's tragic, and it's sad, and it's heartbreaking, but it's not my fault.
Right.
And what I've done is tried to make something positive out of it.
Right.
Positive being my own recovery, you know, my goal is to be the best person I can be and to I guess this radio show is my way of providing service to others.
Sure.
To try to
give back.
To try to make something positive of what happened, you know,
absolutely.
To share my experience and to let people know that even if the worst thing happens, you can still survive it.
And get better.
Yeah, and not only survive it, but you can thrive, and that it's okay to thrive. You know, there's nothing to feel guilty about. It's your job to recover. It's your job to take care
and
of yourself.
And your choice.
And it's your
because
choice.
Because some people, you can go
That's
two
right.
ways. You can either get bitter or get better.
That's right.
You're going to go one of those, either bitter or better,
and
you've gone
go better. Why
yeah.
go better?
What a heavy
you know,
load.
Now that if I was bitter, I would still be sitting in my house, probably crying every night, blaming myself.
Sure.
But instead of that, I'm here doing a radio show, which will hopefully, which will hopefully help other people.
Definitely
so,
it does.
Yeah.
Because I think a lot of spouses go through exactly what you go through. Sure, the ending you went through there with him taking his own life because of his alcoholism is, it's not unique, but it's rare that ends up being where it ends. But
right.
you're sharing that you were getting better in spite of his alcoholism progressively getting worse, in spite of that being the final end of his disease.
That's right.
You've kept getting better.
That's right. I guess the message is that no matter how bad it gets, there is always hope for you to get better.
Right.
And
Al-Anon helped you focus on you.
Absolutely.
Not him.
Absolutely. And
that's scary, though.
And it was scary at first to focus on
it's
myself.
Different. Right.
And it felt really strange to focus on myself.
Yeah.
I felt like I was doing something wrong, but now I'm no way.
Now you're just awesome. Will you come back?
Absolutely.
Because now that we've introduced you to the Radio Rehab audience, I would love for you to come back and just ask lots. We need to learn more about codependency. We need to learn more about Al-Anon. We need to learn more about how to help these spouses and parents get better.
Yes, I would love to come back. And there's a lot of information to get out there.
Yes, maybe bring your sponsor.
We could
do an Al-Anon sponsor panel.
That would be great.
Wouldn't that be cool?
That would.
Because we do that here with some members of AA and NA sometimes. So yeah, what the heck, you Al-Anons have something to say too. We refer to you as Al-Anuts because of putting up with people like us. But
I think there's a lot of truth to that.
So you will come back.
Definitely.
Renee, you're awesome.
Well, thank you.
And I just hope that you keep carrying this message. And that your life just gets better and better and better, and that love that you discover as you go along this road gets healthier and healthier and healthier.
And actually, it already has.
Wow.
You know, I can see the change in my relationships with my family and the relationships with my friends, my coworkers.
Yeah.
New love interest, I guess you could say. Everything.
Don't tell me you're getting assertive. Now, wait a minute. Don't get that healthy. That could make some people real upset. Renee's getting assertive. Look out when a codependent gets assertive. That's great.
Yeah. I have to say that in spite of all that's happened, I'm probably the healthiest I've ever been. And in spite of the sadness from what happened, there's a happiness that comes from just having serenity and inner peace.
Yes.
From valuing who I am and coming to terms with what happened.
Yeah.
And not coming to terms with it, but finding a way to heal and to make myself better and hopefully make the world a better place.
There you go. What a way for us to close this Radio Rehab Hour. Thank you again and again and again.
Thank you.
And Radio Rehab, we will be back next Saturday to hear more about recovery. And between now and then, though, don't forget to do the next right thing. Oh, P.S., you can find Renee at Al-Anon meetings around Evansville. So don't forget, do the next right thing. See you next Saturday.
Was that okay?
Thank you for tuning into Radio Rehab. And what an awesome show today was. Once again, we want to thank our guests and host for donating their time to this program of recovery. Radio Rehab is only a support to the real work of recovery and does not offer definitive answers or attempt to counsel anyone in their own personal behavior. Although the show does not endorse any program of recovery, it holds the belief that most recovery works are in an effort of true conviction and concern for the benefit of the suffering and can be trusted to offer real hope and better choices. Radio Rehab airs every Saturday morning from 10 until 11 on 1400 AM and Magic 98.5 FM WEOA and at 1400amweoa.com.
Our country was stricken by horrific tragedies in 2012. This has brought the topic of mental health to the forefront of all of our minds. It is so important for our community to recognize and guide our loved ones to seek help. Please, please call Brentwood Meadows if you know someone who may be suffering from a mental health issue. It could be depression, anxiety, or even loneliness. These people need our help. Call Brentwood Meadows today at 858-7200. There's hope. There's help. That's